starting with Thorpe Lemon Vogue. So just remember, Urmia really stopped, you know, 34 Pruckham into it, and that was really the end. It was almost like as if it was chronological order. I noticed something, by the way, and Benjamin, just so you know, we mentioned before that the pit that he was put in could have been the lime pit that we're talking about, the famous lime pit that he was in. It's not. The lime pit, we'll see. It's coming up. He has not been in the lime pit yet. That pit is going to be something different, and we'll see what happens.
I know, but I thought that Hawaii isn't necessarily going to be in order.
No, it's not. It's not that it's not in order.
That's what we're talking about. She did this class, and she was under the impression she thinks it's the, that is the line pit. Later,
it's not going to, but we're going to see. Yeah, Lemon Cuss is where we're going to get to the line pit. We're going to see it. No shyness, because the line pit is going to be, we're going to see he wasn't there for very long. Right, he couldn't stay there for very long, and we're going to see what happens with Ovid Melchizedek. Oh, this one I forgot to look up. Dang it. It's hard. With Shavuos coming, it's very hard for me to do anything except Shavuos stuff. So here we go. We spent Lamed Hay speaking about Yonadav ben Rechav and all of his kids. But Yonadav ben Rechav was an extremely holy person from the house of the Canaan, where he was a what's it called, one of those people out there. And the message was being given over to Yonadav's kids, right, that the kids should no longer keep the random laws that Yonadav and Rechav made for them, the mourning laws, the Avelos laws that he had made. No longer should they keep that vision, instead be doing something totally different. Now, we're going to talk about Echav. Parak Lamed Vav, Yibeshon Rav Yisrael, Yochim ben Yoshiel, Melech Yudah, Hayadavar Azel, Yirmiyahu Meis Hashem Lemor. In the fourth year of Yoyakim, son of Yoshia, the king of Judah, the word came to Yirmiyahu from Hashem saying the following. Now, he had already been here for quite a bit, okay? He had been there for quite a bit. King Yoshia, right, had been killed in battle. Remember, he didn't allow Paro Necho to go to his land. Paro Necho wanted to go fight against the Arameans. He asked Yoshia to go through the land in order to go fight them. Yoshia mistranslated the pasuk. He thought that the pasuk mentioned in last week's Parsha B'Chukosai, the Cherev Lo Savor Bar-Tzachem, that the sword will not go through your land, referred to his times, that even a sword of peace will not pass through your land, that he wouldn't have to allow Paro Necho to go through, and he was wrong. Paro Necho killed him and decimated the Jewish army. Yoshia was pierced all the way through, and while he was dying, Yirmiyahu went to him to hear what he was saying, and Yoshia, instead, was blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead of cursing out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzadik Hashem ki fiu marisi is what he said. Tzadik Hashem, that Hashem is righteous because I have rebelled against his mouth. So the nation was trying to get over that, the reeling that had happened when Yoshia died. Yoshia was a tremendous king and a big, big tzaddik. Yoyakim, on the other hand, was an extremely big Russia. Yoyakim was trying to bring up the people. They had panic and they had hopelessness that was spreading throughout the whole people. After all, Paro Necho had just killed their king. Nebuchadnezzar had just started to become getting strong, and Baga was becoming a nation to be reckoned with. And Yirmiyahu is going around telling everybody, don't worry, we're going to die. Don't worry, we're going to die. Right? The basement is going to be destroyed soon enough, and that's what's going to happen. So it was obvious that when this is all happening, right, he was contradicting everybody else who was trying to boost their morale that everything is going to be okay. So when they then looked at the book of Echa, when Echa was being read to the people were shocked. It was the exact opposite of what everybody else was trying to tell them, what Yoyakim was telling the people. This is what you have to do. You have to tell them everything's going to be okay. And that's that. Kachlo Megillah Sefer. Take for yourself a Megillah Sefer. Kasavta Alas Kol Dvarim Asher Dibarti Alecha. Write down in here all the words that I'm going to speak to you all. Yisrael V'Yehud V'Kol Agayim Yom Miyom Dibarti Alecha Miyom Yoshio Adiyom Azen. I want you to write down about Bnei Yisrael and Yehud and all the nations. I'm sorry? We'll see in a second. Miyom Dibarti Alecha Miyom from the days of Yoshio up until this day. So I want you to write these down that I've spoken. Now, it's going to be a parchment, and I want you to write upon it. So first of all, this is the first time that he's ever been told to write down any prophecies, and that's going to be over there. He has been prophesying for 20 years altogether. He's already been, yes. Maybe they will hear. Maybe they'll hear all these people. Remember, he started in the middle of, in the beginning of Yoshia's reign when he was really young. Maybe they'll hear all the bad that I'm trying to do to the people. They'll do tshuva, they'll forgive all of their sins. The truth is that we know that they're not going to do tshuva. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean? Maybe they will. And it could be that it's more for us than it is for them. That we learn from this, and even though those people at the time didn't take what they were supposed to and the base mixture was still destroyed, it still is an ability for us to learn from it. We can become better from it. Plus, in Dalai, the Yikar Yirmiyahu was Baruch Ben Yeriah. Yirmiyahu called Baruch Ben Yeriah, but Yikar Baruch Mipir Yirmiyahu, it's called Yikar Hashem Shribir Lava Megillah Sefer. Baruch wrote down from the mouth of Yirmiyahu all the words of God that God had spoken spoken to him, and he wrote it in a Megillah Sefer, and that's where we know it's Eicha, because it's a Megillah. We're going to see that this is a Megillah Sefer. Yitzav Yirmiyahu is Baruch Leimo, and Yatzur Lo Uchal Lavo Beis Hashem. Listen, I am imprisoned. I'm not able to go to the house of Hashem. Now, that's not true. He was not really in prison. He was more under house arrest. He was restricted from his movement because the kings felt that every time he got up and spoke about the Beis Hamikdash being destroyed, it was bad morale for the people. They would not allow him to move. So Yirmiyah felt that the more powerful way of doing this would not be for him. By him, he would be arrested immediately. Give it to Baruch ben Neriah, who is known as a big Talmud Chacham, but not known as a Navi. Let him read it out and see what happens. Ubasah Tavik Korasim Megillah. You should go. You should read this Megillah Shekhazapta that you have written me from my mouth. As Sibir Hashem, the words of God, but also on Beis Hashem, you're going to read it in the ears of the people in the house of the Beis Hamikdash. Yom Tzom, on the day of a fast day. Now, this is a random Yom Tzom. Remember, this could not have been any of the days that we have nowadays as fast days. Couldn't have been Asar B'Teves, couldn't have been Shabbos B'Talmos, couldn't have been Tisha B'Av, and couldn't have been Tzom Gedalia. None of them existed yet. It certainly wasn't Tainus Esther. Esther didn't exist yet. So this was a random Tzom that they had made, perhaps for rain. We don't know exactly.
I know it wasn't Tisha B'Av, and they were fasting for the Naragim or something that they had already, like...
During the Beis Hamikdash, all the fast days are known as Chagim, right? We say the Hayom Yisrei, the Yom Tzom.
Yeah, but it wasn't Chag. I mean, Shiva Zertamos wasn't a Chag. They didn't know about it yet.
Agreed, meaning it wasn't a fast day. It wasn't a fast day. So they did not have those days as fast days. V'gam ba'ozne kol Yehuda aboyim me'arem tikra'ein. And so too, read it in front of the ears, in the ears of all the Yehuda who are coming from their cities for this fast day, you should read it in front of everybody. Now, that's the idea of what he wanted to do. This was going to be a brand new role for Baruch, where Baruch got involved with all the Nebuah and everything he was doing, but it's not going to be a fast day. Why a fast day? On a fast day, they're already feeling that like they have to do tshuva. They're feeling like things are bad and they have to work on themselves. It's good to read this in their ears then, because now they'll be more receptive. Now they're ready to hear it more than they would have beforehand. So Pasuk Zayin, Ulai Tipot Kinesol Tnei Hashem, maybe their supplication will go in front of Hashem, Yeshuv Yish Midakor Rav, they'll really do tshuva, Kigadol Atachem Asher Tivar Asher Hashem La'amazeh, because the great anger that Hashem is against the people is ready to come out. But Yash Baruch Ben Neriah Kol Hashem Sivo Yirmiyah, Yibaruch Ben Neriah did everything that Yirmiyah commanded him to do. Anavi Likro B'Sefer Tivar Hashem Beis Hashem. He read in the Sefer and the words of Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash. Yibashana Chamishis Lo Yakim Ben Yoshiyah Lamal Yudah B'Chodesh Hashi Karut Tzom Lifnei Hashem Kolam B'Yerushalayim in the 5th year of Yoyakim. So apparently it took a long time either for the book to be written, or it took a really long time for there to be a fast day. Meaning they were waiting for this fast day to come. And Baruch Ben Neriah is sitting there with the Megillah Sefer, waiting, waiting, waiting. And then in the 5th year, remember, this started in the 4th year when Yirmiyah originally got this Nebuah. In the 5th year, that's when they called out a Tzom Lifnei Hashem. It could have been, we don't know, but it's the next year at least. Kolam B'Yerushalayim, Kolam Abayim Era Yehudi B'Yerushalayim. Everybody was around, so they were there. Okay, and that's that. It could be that Baruch Ben Neriah, by the way, organized a fast day himself, just a random fast day, and made it up himself. It could be that as well. But Yikro Baruch B'Sefer is Dibur Yirmiyahu Beis Hashem. Baruch read the Sefer, the words of Yirmiyahu in the house of the Beis Hamikdash, Belishkat Gemaryahu ben Shaphan HaSofer. He was by the chamber of Gemaryahu ben Shaphan, the Sofer, the scribe, B'Chotzer HaElyon, in the upper court, Patach Shar Beis Hashem HaKadosh B'Ozne Kol Ha'am. He was by the gate of the Beis Hamikdash, the brand new gate, in the ears of all the people. Now, the people were going to be unaffected. The reason why they were unaffected is because they were extremely afraid of King Yoyakim. They were worried about displaying any emotion which King Yoyakim would take to be something that's going to be absolutely evil. They didn't want to do that whatsoever. They were sitting there trying to listen to silence without demonstrating anything whatsoever so that they could see what it is. Welcome. It's good to see you, Maya. Okay, grab a thing over here. So the people were afraid of getting around over here. We're talking about Eicha coming in. Yishma Michayu ben Gemaryahu. So Michayu, as we see, is going to be a very, very big tzaddik.
B'chodesh HaTshi'i, that's the key slave, right?
B'chodesh HaTshi'i. So let's think for a second. Let's go through. We got Nisan, Ir, Sivan, Tammuz of Elul. Right, Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev. Right, it's going to be in Kislev.
Well, they in Mishnah and Tani says that right. How many months after Sukkot it doesn't rain do you start fasting?
Well, it's good. Rosh Chodesh Kislev is when you start. I think Yud Zayin Cheshvan or Rosh Chodesh Kislev, right? Okay, Gimel Cheshvan. Very, very good. Very, very good. But Michayu ben Gemaryahu ben Shaphan, it's called the Bereshit Yalla Sefer. He heard all the words of Hashem that were being said from the Sefer. And again, this is Michayu, the son of Gemaryahu, whose chamber it was. It's a very basic. This is the Gemaryahu. So he went down to the house of the metals. Now, during this day of the fast day, all of these tsarim were getting together to discuss what the people needed. Now, this is actually brought down the halacha, that on a day of a fast day, what do? A fourth of the day, a quarter of the day, you're supposed to spend the time going through all the different stuff that the city needs. And that's what these tsarim were doing. They were sitting down trying to figure out, okay, what do we need to work on? What should we do for the people in the next part? That's what these guys were doing all together. Some of them are well known, at least Shammah HaSofer and Gemar Yob and Shaphan. Some of them, that is much Sirkia ben Hananiah, if you'll remember, by the way, could have been the guy who took those horns and started goring, saying that, don't worry, you're going to be able to gore all of Bavel. And he was wrong about that later on. Either way, Vayagiva Michoyu was called Vermesher Shama, Shamea, Bikrom Baruch HaSpasid Vazneon. Immediately Michoyu went and told them everything that Baruch was reading in the Sefer to the ears of the people. He said, listen, somebody's got to find out about this before Yoyakim does. If Yoyakim finds out about this, Baruch Ben Neri is going to be killed. And this is a Sefer that's being written by Yirmiyah, meaning it's a Nebuah. So said, comes along, Baruch, comes along Michoyu and says, we got to take care of this now. Now here is the weird thing. Up until then, Yirmiyah had never brought a Nebuah in a book. It had never been written down this way. Now granted, the Nebuahs that he had said were definitely said out loud, that's for sure. But in a book, they had never heard it before. So everything was extremely strange. Now Michoyu, the fact that he was willing to get up there, and these people are all commended for their ability to get up and listen immediately and take care of business. But they were worried.
Are you from Malachim?
No, not Micha, unfortunately.
No, there was another...
A Michoyu that's mentioned over there. It's not the same guy. Yeah. It says, Vayishchu kol asarim al barachas Yehuda ben Yesanyahu ben Shlomyahu ben Kushi Lamor. So all the messengers, those officers, they sent to Baruch, Yehuda ben Yesanyahu ben Shlomyahu ben Kushi, which means this guy must have been a good person. Mentioning all those names must be that all these people are good people. Megillah Sher Karasa Babazne al Mekachena V'yadcha V'leich V'leich. That Megillah that you read in the ears of the people, take it in your hand and come. And he came to them, to these officers. Shavna, sit down. And read it in our ears. And he read it in their ears. So every man was afraid. And they said, listen, we have to tell the king what you've been reading to us. Okay? We're worried over here, but that's the idea behind it. Now, we don't know exactly what the motives of the nobles were. Were they extremely frightened by what the scribe, what the whole scroll was saying? Or did they suspect that the king was going to punish them for not having put a stop to Baruch's reading, and therefore they were afraid that the king was going to kill them? Or they panicked because they literally had no idea what to do? They could tell Yoyakim, but Yoyakim might kill Baruch Ben Neri and Yirmiyah, right? They might not tell Yoyakim, but Yoyakim is going to find out all the people heard about this. What are we supposed to do right now? They said, you know what? We'll tell him. We're not going to shirk from our responsibility, and then we'll take whatever Yoyakim does. He kills us for it, he kills us for it, but we have to tell him what's happening. There's Baruch Shu Alu Leimo, Hagin Dalanu. Ekosavtos called Ramei Lemi Piz. How were you able to write it down? Did you add anything, they said to Baruch? Is there a Nebuah that you're adding on to? Because we don't know you as a Nabi. Or is this straight out from the words of Yirmiyah? Tell us exactly what happened over here. Pasuk Yirchas. Yomel Baruch, Mi Piv Yikra Eli, called Ramei Lemi, Ani Kosel El Sefer Video. I heard it straight. It was read to me straight from the mouth of Yirmiyah, all these words. I wrote it down in a sefer with ink to write it down over here. The shot in using ink is that I made it kadosh. This was going to be added on for Tanakh, and Baruch Ben Neri knew it was going to be added on for Tanakh. So Yirmiyah, telling it over to him, he treated it with Kedusha, knowing this is eventually going to be added on for the 24th star.
Adding on something that is a Nevuah, which would indicate perhaps it's not Megillah Sefer, which is in Tzuvim, not in Nevi.
Well, we're going to see that everything. First of all, it's called the Megillah. There is no other Megillah. The Yirmiyah.
Right, but that's because the term Megillah in Yirmiyah is the same term that we use as Megillah?
Of course. Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know. Where does the term Megillah come from?
The difference between how the Sefer is made. A Megillah is read with just one eight chaim, and then you pull it out.
Right.
Right? Where the Sefer is just written like that.
The Yirmiyah, where they're writing Nevi'im on two...
Well, Nevi'im, no, right? Because they didn't have Nevi'im.
That's what I'm saying. That in those days, that the rules that we have for Megillah and Navi or whatever...
First of all, it's got to be Eicha, because we're going to see that he tears it up and he throws it inside the fire. So the Gemara tells us that was Eicha, because he was throwing out all the specific lines that were thrown in, and then he adds on three prakim at the end. When Yirmiyah hears that the whole thing is ripped up, so he writes it again, and then he adds on three prakim. Those are the five prakim of Eicha. This is just the first two prakim. So we're going to see. We're not there yet. All right, so it said, 20 feet saucer. You've got to hide. Atav Yirmiyahu. You and Yirmiyahu. I know Yirmiyahu is in his house arrest. You've got to get out of here. I'll be Ishal Yed Eifalatam. Nobody should know exactly where you are because you are both in tremendous danger. As soon as Yoyakim hears this, you're probably going to be killed. They went to the king's court. They first put the Megillah by Elishama the Sofer. They told over to the king everything they had. The reason why Elishama was a man they could trust. So he sent Yehudi, that guy originally, to go grab the Megillah. It could be that Elishama Sofer was writing down the Megillah again, that he was putting it down to make sure that it wasn't forgotten. And Yehudi read it out in the ears of the king. And in the ears of all the sons that were standing by the king, he was sitting in his winter palace. It was Kislev, after all. In that ninth month, that's the Och Lefanim Mavoaris. And the I don't even know what the word is. The Och is like the big fireplace, I guess. It was filled with fire. It was burning right in there. When Yehuda read three glossos, three psukim, let's call it. Maybe the fourth pasuk. He tore it out. The king tore out the lines with a little bit of a razor that the sofer uses. The Hashach Halation, he threw those lines into the fire. Asherolach, that was right there. Atom Kol Megillah La'ish Asherolach. Until all the Megillah was gone, that was by the fire, everything had been consumed, or the scroll had been consumed inside there. Now, which ones was he? He didn't mind the first one, right? Echa, Hoysav Adad, etc. What he started getting upset about was every third or fourth pasuk that dealt with the king. Every time it said that the king is going to be, you know, put into gullus, and the king is whatever it was, he took every third or fourth pasuk and started throwing it into the fire. Yoyakim is known as a Rasha Gummer for doing such a thing. The fact that he knew this was a nevuah given by Yirmiyahu, who was a known Navi at the time, and everybody knew he was a Navi, being handed over, and the fact that he threw it into a fire, it's like throwing a Sefer Torah into the fire. What's up?
The three or four thing is kind of a strange wording. It almost sounds like we're not sure. Like, I know that it's trying to...
That's what it's trying to say, because every... I didn't look it up. The honest truth is, you have it open in front of you, Binyamin. It's supposed to be every three or four psukim reading through the Megillah had to do with the king or the nobles or something like that, in which he said, that's what he says. And that's what it's going to be over here. So I'm not positive, because I meant to look it up, and you can have it right over here. What do you have in the third or the fourth pasuk?
The third and fourth again. Look, I'll tell you that I'm the only one who wrote over there. He has a green from my son on the first of the face. He in the
Go what?
Go what?
What did you just say? Koha? Okay, I don't know. Golsi Yehuda Meoni. Maybe it's Golsi Yehuda Meoni. Maybe that's it. But Yehuda Golsa Meoni. Maybe that's the problem. That they're going to get Golos, and he's Shevet Yehuda. And then Hey Hayut Sarel Larosh Oyvav Shalu. Right. That would be that. That would be the third, possibly the second part. You're right. So maybe it's the next one. Zachu Yerushalayim Me'an Yod. Zachu Yerushalayim Me'an Yod. That's four psukim later. Right. That could be that. I don't know. I absolutely don't know. He didn't give through all the things over there, but. The last pasuk?
As soon as he heard, as he read that, her adversary,
those specific
head, he said, now that's what it is. I'm no longer the king. Immediately,
that's when he tore it up. So whatever it is, he like started to go through it. Maybe he tore up a little bit, and then he started going through. Regardless, once he got it through some of the psukim, that's what he ended up doing. They weren't afraid, meaning the king and all of his servants. The locals began to not tear their clothing. When they heard all these things, right, halakhically, that means that when you do see a Sefer Torah being burned or being torn up in front of you, you are required to tear your clothing. That is the halakha. We learn from there, by the way, as a side note, you're supposed to tear your clothing if you're ever at a place when a person dies. Anybody. Whether it's Jewish, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's Jewish, but according to the Gemara, it's just any man. If you're there, b'shas misa of any human being, it's no worse than a Sefer Torah being burned. Because a human being is a Sefer Torah in and of itself. He says, again, from the Shulchan Aruch, it's a Jewish person, but according to the Gemara itself, and therefore, if you're there when a person dies, you must tear Terquia, even if he's not an Eldam Kasher, meaning even if he's a Russia, seemingly, and especially even if he's not your relative or anything like that, you still get a Terquia.
That's why they have all the
You know, it's so funny, though. No.
I understand it.
It's unbelievable. The Minig is not to, though. The Ramah immediately said that. I don't know if Sardin do it, but the Minig by the Ramah says, Nahagul HaKel. We're knowing to be Maple, and there seemingly is no Hector. I mean, honestly, there is no Hector that's mentioned by the Shatz, by Poskim, by Rishonim, I mean, you know, the Rishonim on the Gemara, nothing. It only comes from the Ramah off the Shulchan Aruch, who brings down the Shulchan Aruch, says that we tear Kriya when you're there by somebody who passes away, and the Ramah says, Nahagul HaKel. That's it. That's all you got.
I always see it after
my I told that to my brother. My brother Rafi, you know, because he works in a nursing home, he said he's probably seen about 40 people die. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like you can go to the hospital.
Yeah, you go to the hospital. Doctor all the time. Yeah.
You could be watching the guy go from, like, you know, to flatline.
He said he saw people die all the time. He says, you see, it's like, I'm like, do you cry? Do you feel anything? He's like, no, I'm momish. I'm totally. He said, like, he now is impervious to death almost. Like, when he sees things and, like, funerals, he doesn't feel it anymore. It's so, like, commonplace by him. He was complaining about it, but it's a crazy thought. It's a crazy thought. So, I don't know. We don't do it.
I was in Europe, and you didn't have a lot of clothes.
So, that's the funny part. But that's even more so why we should now. Right? It makes more sense for us to now. But the Tzitzel Yezer, and wasn't the Ben Ish Chai, the Ben Ish Chai said a crazy thing about the Minigan Baghdad, where the women don't tear Kriya anymore. They just cry. Yeah. And they're crying, and the smacking on their chest is that. And the Tzitzel Yezer says, it's got to be a mistake. That's a Minig Tozu, because there's no way they can't tear Kriya if it's halachically required to tear Kriya. But Tzitzel Yezer is going in now. He's saying it's that. And he said maybe the reason why is because we hear about so much death now, because you have, you know, news from out throughout the entire world, so that would be there. But then again, you'd have that gap of between, like, 1980, when you didn't have all those news going everywhere, and, like, 1940, where people had a lot of clothes, but you didn't hear a lot of news, and you're wondering, so why didn't everybody tear Kriya all the time? If they tore Kriya with one shirt, should do that. I don't know.
I feel like non-Jews for sure do. Like,
tear Kriya?
I don't know. I feel like when
the Pusik says they, you know, cut their skin, right? And they tear off their hair.
Right, there's nothing to do it now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. Either way, but that is the halacha. And it comes from here that we tear for a Torah scroll that's whatever, and that we learn from here that a person who's dead.
People who are present here, if they were to tear their clothing, that kid right there would kill them.
Yeah, no, there's no question. That's not the right. It's from Yoyak. It's rather the other way. It's that below Pachadu, below Karu is Big Deha. It's the fact that the Pasuk points it out and tells us they didn't tear their clothing, meaning normally you should. That's where we learn it from. The Gamal Nasan, Udulayo, Gamayo, Hifgiu, Bamelech, they pleaded with the king. He'd give him a lability stroke to Megillah. Don't burn the scroll. He wouldn't listen to him. He told them, this is a Nebuah. You can't burn the scroll, but he wouldn't listen. Yerachmeel, his son. Now, we don't know Yerachmeel. Yoyakim had a son, Yoyakim, who later on became the king, right, for 3 months. But we don't know Yerachmeel. That's Rayo ben Azriel, that's Shalem Yahu, thank you, ben Abdael, the Tachis Baruch HaSofer, that's Yirmiyah and Avi Yasirim Hashem. They were going to take Baruch and Yirmiyah, right, they were going to hide them, right, and they were going to destroy them, obviously, but by Yasirim Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid them. So it could be, right, that they actually were hidden very, very well. It could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically made sure that they wouldn't be found. Either way, they weren't punished. The word of Hashem came to Yirmiyah after everything was burning, after this it all happened. Shuv, kachlu megillah acharis, take another megillah. Ksuv alas kol dvarim harishonim asher ayu al megillah rishona asher tzarav Yoyakim melech Yehuda. You should write down in all the first words that were on the original megillah that Yoyakim had burned. Now Yoyakim melech Yehuda told Marni, you should say to Yoyakim, kol amar Hashem, atos rachis megillah azos, you burn this megillah, lemor, madua kasata la lemor, saying, why did you write on it, this is what Yoyakim said to Yirmiyah, why did you write on it, bo yavo melech bavel, yishkis tzarev, that the king of Babel is going to come and destroy the land azos, these men who adom of Haman, get rid of all the men and the animals. Okay. He will no longer have anyone sitting on the Kisei of David. His corpse will be sent out to the sun during the day and the snow at night. That is what happened. His death was when, on the way to Bubba, on the way to Gullah's Bubba, when they took Yoyakin, he died on the road, and they threw his body on the side of the road, and his body was there. Remember, that was the skull that we talked about before that was found by Rebbe Prada, which Rebbe Prada then burned afterward. Well, Rebbe Prada's wife burned afterward. Rebbe Prada's grandfather. I'm going to remember it upon him and his children and his servants as abonim their sins. And I will bring upon them and all the people of Yerushalayim and the men of Yehudah all this evil that I spoke to them below Shemei, which they did not listen to. That's the idea behind it. That's what we have over here. Now, as a side note, Yoyakim's son did become king. Now, granted, it was only for 3 months, but he did become king. So either Yoyakim did a little bit of tshuva that allowed this bad nebuah to somewhat be taken away, or the nebuah never meant that his son won't become king. It just means that he won't last as king, and he didn't. He only lasted for 3 months. We don't know exactly what it's going to be.
Yigal was his brother, right?
Yigal was his brother, correct. Right. As a side note, there is a melamed skus for Yoyakim, that the reason why he was doing this is because he was avenging the honor of Malchus Beis David. That he felt that since this nevuah was slighting the Malchus Beis David, saying there will be no more kings of Bnei David, which is true, it didn't happen after that, Yoyakim felt he had to fight for this reason. But the unfortunate part is that even though he was doing this for the right reasons, he did it impetuously and sacrilegiously by burning the sefer, and by doing that he ruined everything good that could have been coming from what he was doing.
Would it matter if he just tossed in the garbage?
What he should have done is said to Yirmiyah, how could this possibly be? You can't be telling him to war against him. You should have argued.
Was there an Indian about throwing him in the fire that, like, was that treated as something even worse?
It's worse when, yeah, even worse when you're burning it, because in the garbage you can still pull it out. The fire, your mamish, you're destroying it. That would be worse. He took another Megillah, but you don't borrow from Yirmiyah. He added on another, however many prakim, two or three prakim, right, to be able to add it on.
The last prayer couldn't have been written until after the Israelites were destroyed.
The last paragraph of Eicha? How do you say so?
The first word is before Hashem Ayalan. Remember what happened to us.
So,
it's like it's a post, it's like an epilogue.
Something was happening.
I definitely hear you. I can't say that for sure, but maybe it was a Nebuah. Maybe. I know Nebuahs are not normally done in that way. It's the course of Ayalanu in the past. But it could be it was just a Nebuah. Otherwise, it does make sense. If he added on another two, that means there were two originally, then another two. That's only four, and the fifth paragraph would have been written later.
It's very different from Ahal's Bed and Dollar.
Everybody knows. Yeah, everybody says that, because Gimel was only written in a triage, in other words, three letters per, you know, three psukim per letter, as opposed to the other ones, right? And each one is a lot shorter than it normally is, right? And that's true. The nun and the samach, right? Everything else, the samach and the ayin were messed up. I forgot which one it was. Oh, pay and the ayin. The pay is before the ayin, except for, I think it was the third parak where it's in order. Either way, regardless. Paraglot of Zion. Now we're going to see that Tzidkia, we're skipping all the way to the end. Sitya, this may be the final nevuah of Yirmiyah, the final nevuah that he said in his lifetime. Now, it's not exactly true, because even by Gedaliah ben Achikam, he had a nevuah, but the final nevuah before Nebuzaradan came in. So Sitya, the son of Yoshua, was king instead of Kanyahu, who is Yechanya, the son of Yoyakim. Nebuchadnezzar made him king instead. Now, originally, Nebuchadnezzar called over the brother of Yoyakim, whose name was Matanya, and he said, what's your name? And he said, I'll answer that my name is Tzidkia, that I'm the righteous one of God, in the hope that I will bear sons who will be righteous, who are going to be tzaddikim. And thus Nebuchadnezzar called him Tzidkia. So it's a question of what exactly his name was. Nebuchadnezzar made him swear an oath that he would never go against Nebuchadnezzar, he would never rebel against the king. And Tzidkia agreed. And he said, I don't want you just to say an oath, I want you to swear on your holy Torah. They pulled out a Torah scroll, and he swore on the Torah scroll that he would never rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. Later on, when he heard that there's a possibility of rebelling against Nebuchadnezzar and the other kings would be on his side, he then went to Sanhedrin, and he asked for a heter of his shvua to try to release him from his oath so he could fight Nebuchadnezzar and destroy Nebuchadnezzar. Sanhedrin reluctantly gave him a heter. He fought against Nebuchadnezzar, lost, and Nebuchadnezzar came, took Sanhedrin, killed every single one of them by dragging them by their hair on horse tails all the way up to Babel, from Yerushalayim to Babel, and then took Tzidkia, as we'll see, took his children in front of his eyes, slaughtered all of them, and then blinded Zipporah for breaking the oath. That was the oath that he made. Now, there is another medrash behind that, but that's the oath that it was. What's up?
There was a nevuah that we were going to be exiled for 7 years. Why would God,
try to do this and go around? But maybe it wasn't his time.
They have to wait 7 years no matter what.
Yeah, it's a bit of a power. Listen, Sanhedrin obviously was punished for what they did. I don't know if that was the exact reason, but they had a svara. I just don't know what the svara is. You'd think it was like that. But again, a nevuah can be turned into good. Maybe there was some good there. He and his servants and the people of the land did not listen to the word of God that came through Yirmiyahu. Now we should know the following. The Gemara tells us that Zedekiah was a tzaddik, but his generation was extremely evil. Unlike Yoyakim, where the generation before they were tzaddikim, but Yoyakim was evil. Now that makes a lot of sense. Remember, by Yoyakim's galus, when Yoyakim was put into galus, really, it might have been from whatever, Yoyakim, but Yoyakim's galus included all of the great tzaddikim of the time. Mordechai, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, all those great tzaddikim, they went to galus then. Those were the Chorish and the Misgar, the carpenters and the workers, whatever, that we called the tzaddikim.
I mean, if they were even born at the time, they were little.
Oh, they would have been young. But whoever it is, they were tzaddikim who went out. And those people that lived by Yoyakim, they were enough to convince the nation. But Yoyakim was an evil man, and he had a lot of influence. Like Zedekiah, all that were left were the evil people, and Zedekiah was still a bit of a tzaddik. And that was Abishag, and that was Zedekiah, was Yuchal ben Shlemiah, that's Spanyo ben Maaseh HaKohen, Yirmiyahu and Abilamon. He's following up about Dinu Hashem Elokeinu. They thought, you know what? Maybe it's the time to dive into our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Possibly there'd be a reason for this to happen. Remember, they asked Zedekiah, asked Yirmiyahu to do this before. We don't know exactly what the timing was of that. And Yirmiyahu refused. He said, absolutely not. Now they're asking him, it's time to daven. He went between the people. They had not yet put him in prison. So he was still able to go between the people itself. The army of Paro had come out from Egypt. The Chaldeans, who were waging war in Yerushalayim, they heard about that as Shimon. They left Yerushalayim to go fight the Mitzrayim. So that's why Zedekiah said, it's an opportune time. Now that Mitzrayim is on our side, and Mitzrayim is willing to fight them, we can finally take over. We can kick Nebuchadnezzar out of our hands. So Yirmiyahu daven so that we can do this. That was the plan. This is what you said to the king of Yudah, who has sent you to me, to ask me, I am telling you, that army of Paro that has come out to help you, they're going back to Egypt. They're not going to help you. At the end of the day, they're not going to be around. They're not going to do anything. It's good that we started 5 minutes ago. Do not deceive yourself saying that the Chaldeans will leave us. It's not true. They will not leave you. Even if you destroy the entire army of the Chaldeans that are waging war against you, and there's only a few men left, a few guys left, each person in their tent, they're going to get up and burn the city in the fire. The Gemara tells us that Muzaradon had tried to break through the walls of Yerushalayim, and he had used all of his tools, that literally nothing was left. But he got some type of a message from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, try one more time, and he used one tiny little twig, whatever it was, like one tiny little wood, after everything else had been broken by the wall, and the whole thing came down. But it didn't make any sense. After everything was done, and the people were already cheering that they knew that they were saved, Muzaradon was able to get through. And it came to pass when the Chaldeans did withdraw right from Yerushalayim because of the army of Paro. Yirmiyahu wanted to slip out of the city to go to Binyamin, right, to go out to the land of Binyamin. Now, why would he go there? Why would Yirmiyahu go there? So, first thing, Yirmiyahu was from Anastos. It's possible that he was going home to go see his family or to go check out the field that he had bought. Remember, he had bought a field not too long ago. It could be that he was doing that. The guards were everywhere, and he knew it wasn't going to be easy to leave later when the Chaldeans came back, but it could be that that's what he wanted to do, right, and that's what he wanted to go out. He didn't want to give a nevuah, and this was not a nevuah. He was not told to go out. He just wanted to go out. By Yehu B'Shal Binyamin, as he went through the gate of Binyamin, Shal Bal Bekida, Bekidus, there was a guy in charge of that gate, Shmo Yiriyah ben Shlemiah ben Hananiah. His name was Yiriyah, the son of Shlemiah ben Hananiah. You remember Shlemiah ben Hananiah? That was the guy who slapped Yirmiyahu in the face when he said his first nevuah in the front of the Beis HaMikdash, slapped him in the face and said, take it back. Yirmiyah said, you're going to die within the year. Remember, he died in Erev Rosh Hashanah, and he made his son swear to me that you'll take my revenge. Yirmiyah was his son. He was the officer in charge when Yirmiyah was trying to slip out. They used to be Yirmiyah, he captured Yirmiyah and Avi Lehmor, Akasimatunokel. You're running away to the Chaldeans. You're running away to them to give them all of our secrets. That's what you're doing. What are you leaving for? Midi Kenegamida. The reason why he was punished over here is because when Hananiah ben Shlemiah said his false nevuah that everything was going to be okay, Yirmiyah said, we mockingly, Amen came here, I hope your nevuah is true. You can't do that by a false nevuah. You can't even show any form of, I hope it's true. Because he said that, he immediately is punished and he's going to be caught by his son. Sheker, it's a lie. I'm not going to the Chaldeans. We'll show me love. But Yirmiyah wouldn't listen to him. Are you supposed to hear Yirmiyah over? Sorry, burn the officers. And there we go. The officers were angry at Yirmiyah. The equal, so they hit him. They put him in a little jail by the house of Jonas and a sofer. They made that as a temporary jail. They put him over there. Now remember, the people that were in charge by Tzidkiyahu were wicked. So they didn't believe in a Navi. They didn't believe anything. So even though the Navi is telling them, I'm not lying to you, I'm not going to the Chaldeans, they still threw him in jail. Kibar Yirmiyah Beis HaBor. And then Yirmiyah was put inside the Beis HaBor, a prison that was in a pit. Ba'alachanuyos, right by the stores. Beis Sham Yirmiyah Yomim Rabin. Yirmiyah stayed there for many, many days. Why by the stores? There was no commerce in Yerushalayim because of the siege. So that was there. Now, here, Miyamuli says that he was put in jail in four occasions. Number one, he was thrown into prison by Yoyakim when he said, woe to him, Yoyakim, that builds his house by unrighteousness. That was in Parak Chav Beis. The second one, when Yoyakim did it, that's when Yirmiyah had Baruch write the book of Eicha, right around that time, although we said that might have just been a house arrest that wasn't really a jail itself. Number three would have been in Tzidkiyahu's reign, the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, right? That the king, that's when he pops said that the king was going to be captured by the Babylonians, and Tzidkiyah didn't believe him. That was before. And number four, when he was able to, during that, that's when he purchased the field from Hananel, from his cousin, his uncle, whatever it is. And number four, right, is going to be now, for the very last time, right before they lost to the Chaldeans. That's it. So the king Tzidkiyahu grabbed them, took him out from that jail that was there, and he asked them, the king asked them in his house, privately, is there anything that I can hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What else can I hear? Is there anything that I can do to save myself? Yes, there is. You will be given over into the hands of the king. Tzidkiyahu was a weak king. He was a weak king. He could not fight the Tzaddikim. Although he really badly believed that Yirmiyah was truly a Navi and he didn't deserve to be put in jail, he could not fight anyone else there. He kept telling Yirmiyah, if you tell me anything, I'll tell my Tzaddikim and I won't let them put you in jail. But if you keep telling me bad, I can't do anything. There's nothing I can do. What did I do against you and your servants? Well, all my zen to this people, can stop and see that you're throwing me in jail. Where are those prophets, the false prophets that told you for the past 20 years that the king of Babel is not going to come to you and that this land is going to be saved? Listen to me, my master the king. Let my supplication go in front of you. Don't put me into the house of Yonas and Asofer. Don't let me die there. If you keep me inside there, then the Chaldeans are going to come to Nebuchadnezzar and I'm going to die. I'm going to die because they're not going to know the difference. I need to go where I'm supposed to go for my nebuos. And they took him to the courtyard of the guard. They gave him a little bit of bread per day. From around the baker's street, I told him to in the ear until all the bread was gone from the city. He remained in the court of the guard. Yirmiyah no longer had any food. The last person that they're thinking to give food to during a famine because there's a siege around the city is the guy in jail, even if he is a Navi. So Yirmiyah started to starve while he was in this jail. So all these poor people, great people, they had heard all the words that Yirmiyah had spoken over the people. Okay, now these people could have been that they were great people at one point. They became adversaries of Yirmiyah, and they're mentioned for that reason. What happened to them? Amos, that Hashem had said, this is Yirmiyah's Nebuah, anybody who lives in the city will die by cherem, by rov, by davar, in the sword, by hunger, and by plague, by yotzol akasim yichvichoya, those who go out and just go to the Chaldeans and say, I'm on your side. Anybody who does that to them will live. He'll receive his soul as a gift, and he'll be able to live. This is what Yirmiyah was telling the people. If you defect to the Babylonians, you'll live. If you stay in the city, you're going to die. Which they thought was absolutely crazy. Says God, this city is going to be delivered into the hands of the king of Babel, and he is going to seize it. You must know what he says. This man cannot live, he's got to die. He's weakening all of our hands. All of the men of war, we have deserters. We have people leaving the army and jumping over the wall to go join Babel because they're listening to Yirmiyah. How are we supposed to fight? They're weakening the people. He's not saying good for the people. He's not trying to help the people. He's only saying evil. They figured that he was just
lock him up so he can't talk to anyone.
Well, that's what they kept doing, but he was still talking. And people were still saying over there, who was far off? But Mary was coming by, people were going back. This time he's still in a jail. So that's what he said. He's in your hands. The king can't do anything according to you. Right? And, I mean, Sikhiyah is saying, he's like hopeful, wishful thinking. I wish I could say to you, shut up. Just listen to Yirmiyah. But I have no ability to do it, Sikhiyah. I can't do it. Says Pasuk Vav. So they took Yirmiyah and they threw into the pit of Malkiah, the son of the king, that was in the Chatzar HaMatar, which was by the guard's courtyard, right? And they sent him down there in ropes. In other words, they had to lower him down with ropes. You couldn't just throw him in, right? There was no water in the pit. Came tits, only mud. Yirmiyahu started to sink into the mud that was inside there. So maybe like Yosef HaTzadik, that they didn't want to kill him directly. Maybe at first they wanted to kill him directly, but they said, you know what, we'll kill him indirectly by lowering him into the pit that they know he won't be able to survive from. Maybe that's what they did, seemingly an indirect method to be able to go through. And I will tell you, I don't know why it's known as the boar of Malkiyahu ben HaMelech. Does anybody have that in any of their Pirushim, why it's called the boar of Malkiyahu ben HaMelech? I'm sorry? Okay, that could be. Is there anything about him? Does anybody say anything about who this guy is? I don't know about Malkiah, the son of Tzidkiah. Obviously, he's going to die later because Nebuchadnezzar killed all of Tzidkiah's kids. But nothing over there, and we got nothing. All right, what can you do? Vayishma Eved Melech HaKushi. So Eved, king of the Kushites, or his name was Eved Melech, the Kushi. I mean, he was a black man. Ish Saris, a man who was a eunuch, who was based in Melech, who lived in the house of the king. He nusras Yirmiyahu labor v'amal Yoshe b'shar b'Binyamin. That they had put Yirmiyahu into the pit, and the king sat by the gate of Binyamin itself. Now, in Pashup Shad, says Rav Yosef Cairo, this was an African man, right, who was black, who converted to Judaism. He was a ger or a ger toshav. It could be he was a ger toshav, only kept the shevnikas that I know of. Nonetheless, he had listened to Yirmiyah for years. He was a person who trusted in God and knew that Yirmiyah only spoke the word of God. When he heard that Yirmiyah was put in the pit, he's the one that went out. It's amazing. Out of all the Jews that lived in Yerushalayim, a ger or possibly a goy who was a ger toshav was the only one to come to the aid of this great number. It's amazing how Yirmiyah had so either people felt that they couldn't save him, that they were so scared of the king, but this guy's willing to risk his life, or he had made so many enemies that there was nothing that anybody could do. I do find it a little bit weird that there wasn't a guard put outside of this pit. I don't understand why there was no guard there.
There wasn't.
Eved Kushi is able to go right up to there. Take him out.
There was visiting hours. I don't know.
He's in the pit, though. You can't get into the pit.
There
was something that there wasn't too part of it, but I...
No,
I
think
it had bigger fish to fry.
I guess so. Does anybody have the measures who Eved Melech HaKushi is? Does it say on the bottom of the art school who Eved Melech HaKushi is? The guy at the end of the day? Nothing?
The doc says that he is Eved Melech HaKushi, but sorry.
No, that's the Pashut
Shad.
Okay, just an Eved. I will tell you the following. There is a Gemara in Derech Eretz Zuta, Perek Aleph, toward the end, Derech Eretz Zuta, where it says there are 9 people who got Olam Haba while they were still alive. They went to Olam Haba alive, and it mentions there Eliyahu, Mashiach, Sarafat Asher, right, all the famous ones that we know of, whatever it is, right? And it says there, Eved Melech HaKushi. because of what he did over here, he was zochet to go to Olam Haba, to Gan Eden alive at the Eben Melchakushi. I remember there is a parish that says, what does he say?
So verse says, parish of Akushi al Tikiyahu, meaning it was a metaphor for Tikiyahu. I mean, I don't think it literally was him, but it teaches about just like Akushi has different.
No, no, but Eved was still the.
Tikiyahu was more.
Fine, but it was still Eved. But who was the guy?
It was Baruch Benir.
Yeah, it's Baruch Benir. That's right. Okay, that's what they call him. So either way, it could be. The Pashup shot is that he was a slave, right? He was
and
a slave who was known, whatever.
The one that he likes the most is Hakushi Eved HaMelech HaYashimo. The name was Hakushi because Lindzeh Masher Amar Bepomakum Eved Melech. Bepomar HaMelech Bechamim. It's Eved Melech, right? Not HaMelech?
Yeah, it's Eved Melech.
Yeah, so that's his name. That was like his name.
Well, you can see it by the little things. In all of your Nevi'im, you have a little line by Eved Melech. That's how you read it. It seems it could be in the regular Navi, it's read Eved Melech Hakushi. So it sounds like he's the king of the Kushites. But over it seems like it's the actual name. Either way, Baruch Benir is the medrash that I was looking for. I just couldn't remember if it was him or not.
Eved Melech is just like Avi Melech.
Yeah, Eved same way. Yeah, that would be his name. Beit Eved Melech, mi Beit Melech. He left the house of the king. Vayidabro Melech Lamor. You know what? It's a little bit different from Avi Melech, by the way. Because Avi Melech is one word. Eved Melech is two words.
Well,
that makes a difference. Yeah, but nonetheless, it's written as two words. Either way, Vayidabro Melech Lamor, he spoke to the king saying, Adonai
HaMelech. Or Tifar, if you say the same person.
That's a good call. Yeah, that's a good call. Adonai HaMelech, hey, Reyu Anoshim Ha'ilas, Kol Asher Asa L'Yirmiyahu. He said to the king, Sidkiyah, my master the king, these people have done evil to Yirmiyahu and Navi. It's a shuri shlichu al abor by throwing into the pit. But Yamastasov, he's going to die there, Vinyahu, from hunger. Kena lachamod ba'ir, there's no more bread in the city. Who's going to feed him? Ha'itzav HaMelech is Eved Melech HaKushi L'Yirmiyahu. So the king commanded Eved Melech the Kushi, saying the following, Kav Yazgom Yizer Shloshim Anoshim, take 30 men. Ba'alisa, Yirmiyahu and Navi, in a bor, v'tarim yimus. I guess that answers my question. It might have been guarded, but he brought 30 men with him. They brought him out of the boar before he died. But he got Eved Melech HaNoshim B'yado. He took the men out with his hands. Yavon Beis HaMelech, and he went to the house of the king. Underneath his storage house, he got Misham Beloye Chavos Ubloye Melech. Then he took old rags and worn out clothes. And he sent it down to Yirmiyah to the pit with Chavolim. Why that? To make it easier for him. He'd be able to put it underneath his arms so that the rope wouldn't burn him as he was being pulled up. Yomer Eved Melech HaKushi or Yomio. Put it underneath your armpits, underneath the rope so it doesn't hurt you. So he did exactly that. So he says, so they pulled up Yirmiyahu with these ropes and they brought him up in the pit. And Yirmiyahu sat in the courtyard of the guards right over there. It could be that Eved Melech HaKushi. There's a medrash that said that Eved Melech HaKushi called out my master Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu didn't answer, which Eved Melech HaKushi thought he had already died, and he thought he was too late, so he tore his clothing. Right at that point, Yirmiyahu said, oh, I didn't know who it was, so I didn't answer because I was afraid that it was maybe one of my enemies. Right, and then he said, all right, I'll bring you up, and then he brought him up, and then he brought him up from there. The king Sidkiyah took Yirmiyahu the Navi and brought him to him to the third gateway that was by the base of Mikdash. I'm going to ask you something. Don't withhold anything from me over here. Right? Yirmiyahu said to Sidkiyah, if I tell you, won't you kill me? That's what happened last time. Even if I advise you, you're never going to listen to me. Sidkiyah the king swore to Yirmiyahu in private, saying, Chai Hashem Es Asher Asa Lanu as a nefesh azos, right? I will never kill you. I will not put you into the hands of your enemies. If you go out to the king of Babel, then you will live. That's what he promised Sidkiyah. The city will not be burned in fire. And I swear, you and your household, all the king of that Malchus of David, they will all live. So I'm promising you, if you do that, says Yirmiyahu, you will live. If you don't go out to the offices of the king of Babel, then the city will be given into the hands of the Chaldeans. And you will not he's saved. I'm worried. I don't want to do that. If I do that, and I fall into the hands of the Chaldeans, and I desert over to their hands, the Chaldeans, then the Babylonians will hand me over to the evil Jews who are mad at me right now, and they're going to kill me. I don't want to do that. I don't want them putting me in the same jail as others. They will not put you in their hands. Listen to the word of God that I'm speaking to you. It'll be good for you, and you'll live. This is the only good nevuah. I'm telling you this will happen if you give in. But if you refuse to go, here's what God has shown me. All the women that are in the house of the king of Yehuda, I mean all of your concubines and your wives, etc., are going to be brought and taken by the officers of the king of Babel. They're going to say that your friend succeeded in inciting you, that you sank your feet, you sank your feet in the mud, right? And they will all retreat. Nobody's going to help you. They'll all be sent over. Your family will be given over to the Chaldeans. You will not be escaping from their hands. Because in the hands of the king of Babel, you will be captured, and the city will be burned inside the fire, and you will be held personally responsible for allowing this to happen and not giving in to this war right now. I'm telling you what you can do. Nobody should ever hear these words, and then you won't die. If anybody else hears that I spoke with you, and they come to you and they say to you, tell us, what did you speak to the king? Do not deny it. We will not kill you. If the people say that to you, what did the king say back to you? You got to say back to them, I pleaded with the king to not put me back in jail to die there. Do not tell them that you said this nevuah. Tell them, right, that you just pleaded and you asked not to die.
What? 10 seconds ago, CTO says I'm powerless. I've got nothing. I can't do anything. And all of a sudden, he's still pulling him out of jail. He's bringing him to the side. But
pulling him out of jail was not that big of a deal, because he could always claim, which is what he did right now, that Yirmiyah pleaded with him. He did, right before he was thrown in. He pleaded with the king, and the king is allowed to do such things. But now he's telling Yirmiyah, don't say anything, and you won't die. Which means that Yirmiyah, as long as he doesn't get a nevuah that comes randomly, you know, up like that, Yirmiyah is being told by Tzidkiah, if you're quiet, nothing will happen, you won't go to jail anymore, but I'm going to see what I can do.
Quietness in general. Don't tell anybody that I...
It happens to be that Yirmiyah doesn't say it. Well, let's see what happens. And he told them, right, exactly what the king was afraid of. They left him alone, right, and the matter was heard by nobody. Nobody knew about this matter and no one was there. So in other words, the king is still afraid of everybody. He's still afraid. He cannot fight them. He cannot save Yirmiyah if the officers want to kill him.
What about his about face also? Like, he wasn't necessarily defiant against the word of Yirmiyah, but now all of a sudden he's going to listen?
Nope. Yirmiyah went back to the jail until the day that Yerushalayim was captured by Yerushalayim, until the day that actually fell. No, the courtyard. This is a different area.
Right, but it's not the board.
No. He was not thrown into jail. He was not thrown into jail. At this point, he did not say anything anymore. He went back to the area waiting for Yerushalayim to fall. Tzidkiyahu did not do it. He didn't give in. He didn't walk out. He didn't give himself up to the Chaldeans. Maybe. We could be Malamed Schus and say that Sittio said to himself, I gotta find a way to do this without being killed. Maybe he was considering finding a way, and as that happened, they broke through Yerushalayim and it was too late. Maybe that's what he was thinking. But Lamai said, at the end of the day, he did not do what Yirmiyah told him to do. Therefore, Yerushalayim was destroyed. His wives and children were captured and killed, or taken his woman for other people. And Sittio himself was immediately captured by the king of Babel.
Doesn't it sound weird, though? It sounds like he trusted Yirmiyah. He believed. So
yeah.
If you believe him, why wouldn't you?
No, there's no question.
To talk to?
No question. It's just one of the strangest things. Sitkio, who was a tzaddik? There's no question. He was a tzaddik. But for some reason, just could not give in.
It's interesting, you find that had he surrendered, they wouldn't have destroyed your slime, meaning also the base of Mikdash wouldn't have been destroyed?
Seems that way also, yeah. Maybe the base of Mikdash would not have been destroyed. You hear me saying? I see it. Which
okay,
Nebuahs that are bad can be taken for good. You can allow them to become good. And you hear me saying? I've got one last Nebuah. You literally
but
have one last chance.
Was done up until this point.
No, but Yirmiyah may have been strong enough to be able to save them. It could be. It could be that there were just enough people. Sidkiyah would listen. Maybe things would change. Maybe people would see it differently. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar would turn an about face and say, oh, you're not fighting me? Okay then. Then I'm on your side and I'll help you. Maybe. Maybe. There's no guarantee. But Yirmiyah is saying, I've got this Nebuah and I'm telling you it's so. I'm telling you this is it. Can you imagine after all those years of prophesying for 30 years or more, if Sidkiyah only would have decided yes, Yirmiyah would have been wrong about everything. There'd be no Sefer Yirmiyah. The whole Sefer would have been thrown out because none of it happened. You know what I'm saying? No, there would have been one parak. It would have been Yirmiyah telling Sidkiyah, just listen and give in. And he's like, okay. That was it.
No, there's
no didn't exist. It's something else. All right, well, I don't know how far we'll be able to go, but let's start Lamed Tes over here. It's not that long of a parak, but I don't think we're going to be able to finish. It says, Bashanat Shis, Sidkiyo Melch Yudah, Bechodeshat Siri, in the ninth year of Sidkiyo, the king of Yudah, in the tenth month, Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babel, came, and all of his army, El Yerushalayim Yetzirah Lah, and they sieged it. Okay, that was on, as we all know, Asara B'Teves. The tenth month is Teves. That was Asara B'Teves that they sieged the city. Okay, he took his entire army to fight because he knew how strong the walls of Yerushalayim were. V'ashteis Reishan L'Tzidkiyo B'Chodesh Rabi, in the 11th year of Tzidkiyo, in the fourth month, B'Tish L'Chodesh, in the ninth day of that fourth month, Havkoa year. Okay, so that's when the city was breached. Now, this is the ninth of Tammuz. We obviously keep the fast day as Shiva Aser B'Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, not the 9th of Tammuz. So why did it say over here that it was the 9th of Tammuz? That's one answer. One answer is that the 17th was Beis Hamikdash number 2, 9th is Beis Hamikdash number 1. Another answer is...
You don't want to do 4 weeks, 3 weeks is enough.
Another answer, that's terrible. Another answer given by the Yerushalmi is that it was on the 9th, a smaller breach happened on the 9th, but the bigger breach happened on the 17th. And a third answer given by the Yerushalmi is that Yirmiyah was so saddened by this Nebuah, he messed up the date of when it happened. Right. And it really was Shiva Aser B'Tammuz, and on the 9th. It's an unreal Ksam Sofer that explained it. He left it immediately. He left it in on purpose, says the Ksam Sofer. The Ksam Sofer says it so beautifully. He says, a Nebuah cannot happen when a person is sad. And Yirmiyah was sad beyond belief when he wrote this Nebuah. So he lost it when he wrote down that the city was finally breached and they had gotten through and it was terrible, whatever it was. So he wrote the 9th when he meant the 17th, but he said the following. He said, but doesn't that knock down the level of a Nebuah? Right? He's not a Navi then. What ends up happening? He says, it was purposely left in and then made, the fact it was made on the 17th. Not only for the second, but for the first as well. It was purposely done. Why? That everyone would know how sad Yirmiyah was when this Nebuah was made. It's an unreal Ksam Sofer. I'll show it to you guys one time when I can find it.
It knocks down a lot of validity of different things that could have happened. No, he was sad, so we don't know necessarily.
If it happens any other time, then I hear you. The fact that we're doing it once and telling you about it, that's what Yerushalmi is doing, to tell you that that was a mistake, that's what the idea is. Otherwise, you go with the line of, no, it's not a mistake, the first was different from the second. But that line is purposely used for this idea. Of course, I mean, the obvious answer is the first versus the second. That's the obvious, and the answer that's also given by the Gemar Babli. That's the obvious answer. I'm just telling you what Yerushalmi said this. Now the only problem is, what does that Yerushalmi mean? Alright, pause at Gimel. They evoke Osari Melababa Yeshu Bashar Atavah. All the officers of the king of Babel, they went and they sat by the middle gate. Nirgal, Sar Etzer, Samgar Nevu, Sar Sasim, Rav Saris. These are, Rav Saris is the guy. Nirgal, Sar Etzer, Rav Mog.
He's like a high officer.
I guess, I don't know, but it's calling it his names. Right? The whole Sheri Sari Melababa and all the other guys over here. I have it down in the Miamois. It says that his guys, Rav Saris and Rav Mog. There's Nigal Sharezer, Nigal Sharezer Rav Mag, and Sarsh, I don't know how to pronounce this. Right? Now, whatever it is. Sarsakim Rav Saris, they call it. But either way, and all the other officers above El. Alright, I don't know if we're going to be able to finish. Let's stop with this right over here. But Sidkiyah is going to be captured over here. Stop on Pusik Gimel over here. Yeah, Pusik Gimel.